Well, I hope you enjoyed that little interlude there of Jess dancing again, and just hope that refreshed you and invigorated you and revived your spirit. Hey, I know a lot of people are a bit uncertain in this season, and you know, you go into places now and you have to leave your phone number and a few details about yourself, and you know, I've heard a few people say it feels like they're being tracked and Big Brother's watching and other conspiracy theories and, you know, all this kind of stuff about, you know, people kind of, you know, a bit tentative about is online secure and is this safe and is that safe and whatever. Look, I wouldn't really worry about it myself, you know. Your vacuum cleaner's been getting dirt on you for years. So what are you worried about? This week I want to come to kind of like a final of just a little series we've been doing the last few weeks. We called it the season we find ourselves in. And over the last couple of weeks we talked about the sons of Issachar, and they're a group of people in the scripture who knew the times and the seasons and knew what it was that that God was doing with them. There was Esther who spoke about such a time as this, and she was in such a time and she was in the right place at the right time, and she still had a choice about what she did with that. We talked about that this is a season for a time of building, a time of a holy reset, a time or an invitation to trust afresh, and a time last week we talked about this is a season for preparation. And I want to talk this morning about the final part of that. This is, I think, a fresh season of revival. I believe we're on the cusp of God breathing life into dead places. That God is reviving things, including the church. There's the church is not dead. Actually, there's a revival taking place in the church as we speak. This week, I heard a story about a guy. This is in the 90s, and he was in an accident, and he was injured very badly. The doctors didn't think that he would live, or if he did live, they thought that he would definitely have brain damage. They put him in a coma, an induced coma, and he was in this coma for 12 days. He was actually declared dead, clinically dead, for 14 minutes. And they actually revived him, and because of that revival, that's why they thought that he'd have permanent brain damage and wouldn't live. And they put him in a coma because of that trauma. But 12 days later, he came out of that coma. They did scans and investigative work on him, and he was declared fully healthy. No issue of brain damage whatsoever, fully restored, and made a complete and full recovery. Once he'd made a full recovery, he decided to change jobs, and he got a new job. He decided that that was going well for him, so then he decided to propose to his long-term girlfriend, and she said yes, and they decided to get married. And then because everything was going well, he decided to go down and buy a lottery ticket. When he bought his lottery ticket, he won a $17,000 car. In the 90s, that was worth a lot of money, as it would be today. And then our news story got wind of the story. News crew got wind of the story and went to interview him. And one of the things they did when they interviewed him was said, well, "Let's just film and reenact you going into the news agents and buying a lottery ticket and scratching it, whatever, and winning the car. Let's just reenact that." And so they did that, and they actually took him into the news agents, the same one that he went to before, and he bought another lottery ticket and he scratched it. And who do you know? As he scratched it, he won $250,000. Wow. I tell you that story not to suggest that you should go and buy a lottery ticket, because I really don't believe in gambling, and I think you'll lose more than you'll win. And my trust and provision is in God, and that's where the rubber really hits the road. I don't need to kind of have another source of trust. But I do tell you that story because it's a story of revival. It's a story of a dead man, literally, who became alive, and then his life was transformed. I tell you that story because that's just what can happen in the natural realm. But we trust in a God who's far greater than that. And I know that revival in a supernatural realm is way more than we could ever possibly ask, think, or dare to imagine. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. When you look up the definition of revival, it says to activate, to set in motion, or to take up anew or to renew. It's about restoring to life or consciousness. It's about putting on or showing again. It's about making operative or valid again. And when you look up the word reviving, it means to return to life or consciousness or vigor or strength or a flourishing condition. And when you look up the word revival, it's about an awakening, and usually a spiritual awakening. The synonyms that go with the word revival are about rebirth, regeneration, rejuvenation, renewal, resurgence, resurrection, resuscitation or revitalization, and there's more. And in the story that I read to you earlier, or the passage I read to you from Ezekiel chapter 37, that's very much about God's reviving and God's spirit, God's breath, wanting to bring revival into us. That's an awesome story that we see in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, about revival and about belief and about what our role is in speaking revival and actually being part of that revival. And then Jesus picks that up again in the New Testament, and he carries it through and talks about his spirit within us. And then it happens again in Acts. Wait here for the coming of the Holy Spirit and that freshness, that revival that's coming in the sense of the spirit life that comes, that's ours. And as I think about that this morning, you know, I'm not normally one to jump up and down about revival. And sometimes I actually feel uncomfortable about the topic of revival. And I think in this season I've realised why. It's because so much of people's talk about revival is about an event rather than a transformation. So much of people's talk about revival is always about something that's future tense rather than present tense. I actually think revival is happening right now. The very moment that we become believers in Jesus Christ, we entered into a season of revival and transformation. And it's like the kingdom. It's now but not yet. It's happening and it's increasing. Kingdom transformation. Every day I am being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Every day I'm being revived into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Every day the image he created me to be is becoming clearer. Every day I'm being revived and refreshed and renewed. In this season, I've been meditating lots of times on these words from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And I've been contemplating that every day is a new day. Every day is a fresh day. Every day is a day that the mercies of the Lord are new. Oh, I don't have to live in yesterday's frustration or stress or whatever has come yesterday, because today's a new day and the mercies are fresh. Each day I'm being revived. Each day I'm being refreshed. Each day I'm being renewed by the mercies and the love of the Lord. You see, every day there's a freshness that comes that's different to the day before. And if the kingdom is coming and advancing, then the world is getting better and it's getting revived. It's not getting worse. There's a story about a young boy walking up a beach, and there are starfish, thousands of them, all along the beach. And he's picking a starfish up and he throws it back into the water, and then he goes and picks another one up and throws it back into the water. And there's an old guy walking down the beach and looks at what he's doing and comes up to the little boy and he says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm saving these starfish." And the old man says, "It's ridiculous. You're not going to save all of these starfish. Look how many there are up the beach." And so the little boy, in all his youthful wisdom, picks up another one, throws it in the water and says to the old man, "Saved that one, didn't I?" Picks up another one, "Saved that one, didn't I?" And the point of the story is that, yes, he may not get to saving all of those starfish on the beach, but one by one, he's bringing transformation and revival into a starfish's life, and that's making a difference to the overall picture of the bigger picture. Sometimes we forget that the small things that we do, the small things that we do in transformation are actually building a bigger picture of transformation. And so the world is getting better, not worse, in that sense, as we bring life and breath through Jesus' life and breath flowing through us to the influence that we have in this world. We have to set our sights on what Jesus sees and what Jesus promises and his world, rather than the circumstances that we see and the news wants us and the media wants us to believe. Because Jesus, through me, is making a difference to transform my world. Therefore, I'm making a difference and things are getting better. And each little bit of transformation is affecting the bigger picture of transformation. Right now, the church, the bride of Christ, I believe is coming into a fullness of who she was created to be. There's a battle that's taking place, certainly in the realm of the supernatural. So even though I may not see the change in physical things around me or things changing in the natural realm, there are things changing in the spiritual realm that we cannot underestimate. Of which Philippians 3:20 says that you and I as believers, we're citizens of the heavenly realm. And in that realm right now, there's lots of things that are changing and shifting, and things for the better and transformation is coming into place. And so as we attach our faith and prayers to that, James says in James 5:16, the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. Therefore, it's impossible for us to engage in that and for nothing to happen. In this season, I've been prophetically moved by a number of things. One of the things that I've been prophetically moved by is some songs, and I mentioned one the other week, that song Oceans, which I think is a song for this season, and particularly at the beginning of COVID-19 season. And another song that's really impacted me in the latter part of this season is a song by a lady called Melissa Helser, and the song's called Revivals in the Air. I really encourage you to Google it and look at it. This week, Marguerite's going to send you out that song and the backstory to the song that I'm going to talk about in a minute. Melissa Helser is a worship leader, writer, just a lover of God. And she wrote this song in a story. The song came about via an encounter she had with the Lord. Her and her family were praying for her brother. Her brother was an addict and had been an addict for a long time. And his addiction had kind of got to a point where it was breaking point for the family. And they had been praying for him and asking the Lord for breakthrough. And they were just sitting at home one night on the lounge, and she just got a text message, and the text message said, it was from her brother, and he just said, "I've made the call, I'm going to get help." And in the midst of that moment, she was in tears, her husband was in tears, her kids were in tears. They then moved from tears to celebration, to joy, to being overwhelmed by the goodness and the presence of God at the breakthrough that had just taken place. She plays a ukulele, she picked up a ukulele and she just started playing, and these just words just flowed from her mouth, and there was just joy and celebration. The next morning she woke up and she picked up a ukulele again, and just more words just flowed and just came out of her mouth, and a song was kind of written, and God just breathed this song of revival into her spirit and just came out as she wrote it. And over the period of time, her brother was rehabilitated. And not only was he rehabilitated, but her brother gave his life to the Lord. He became a believer. And she actually wrote the song, finished the song, and then she shared the song with him on his birthday. And they cried and they laughed and they celebrated the revival of God that took place in his life. That, for me, is revival. She goes on to write, and she says this. She says, "Revival doesn't start and stop in a meeting. It's meant to actually infiltrate every part of our lives, the 99% of our life. And revival looks like prodigals coming home. It looks like addicts getting help. It looks like marriages restored and families reconciled. It looks like our neighbourhoods full of compassion and love and grace and mercy. It looks like our cities and cultures getting flipped upside down with the love of God." That's got to be one of the best, if not the best, definition of revival I've ever heard. I feel like there's a shift in many of the worship songs in this season. Not that the worship songs in the last season were no good, they were beautiful songs. I would call them more kind of, I don't know, when you think about genres and you think about drama movies, more kind of that reflective or more kind of like, melodies or just kind of sitting in a song and reflecting, more kind of that lower key kind of song. But I feel there's been a shift in the last little while, that there's a new tempo that's coming. There's a shift in the beat. There's a shift in the effervescence. There's a shift in the celebration of some of these songs. And this is one of those songs. I feel like God is releasing a fresh season of dance, of joy, and of freedom to usher into revival. That's not an event that's actually taking place from inside out of people. And it's infectious, and you can't help but be moved and be inspired by that. On my 55th birthday, which was just last month, a month ago yesterday, I turned 55. And that's, for me, that's a significant 55 is a number. It's 5 means grace, so it's a season of double grace for me. And I spent some time, one of the things I had opportunity to do just for a couple of hours at the beginning in the morning on my birthday was just quickly nick down to my retreat space and just wanted to listen to what God was saying to me about my following year and what he was ushering into my life. You know, there's lots of things I've been thinking about in the natural to the supernatural in this season, and I know over this season as I've been retreating regularly, each time I've gone down to this little place I go in the national park, I see ships, container ships, and they mean one thing. Oil tankers, they mean another thing. Sailing ships with their sails up, they mean another thing. I've seen regularly whales and a whole bunch of different things, dolphins and things with freedom and life and joy and things that carry things, oil of anointing, or things with their sail up and the Spirit blowing into them. Lots of analogies. And as I went down, I played this song one day. I played it on my birthday. And as I played it, I just listened to it and I just allowed God's Spirit to just come within me. And I just started to dance ridiculously with joy and freedom as the Lord's Spirit got hold of me and with grace and freedom just started to pour in. And as I danced, I pictured revival taking place. I pictured revival taking place in some of your marriages. I pictured revival taking place in some of your work and job situations. I pictured revival taking place in some of your families and with your kids and with people that don't know the Lord, people I know you're aching for and wanting to see come into the kingdom. I pictured revival taking place in restoring marriages or people, a revival coming in and taking place as depression lifts off and stress and anxiety goes out. I pictured and I danced with freedom and joy at just what I sensed the Lord, just breath kind of coming on those dry bones and those dry areas and then life coming. And I felt the Lord saying, do you believe that, Rob? Do you see that that can take place? And yes, I do. I do. I do. I really feel in this season, the Lord is calling the bride to a season of joy and freedom and true revival. In the last few weeks, I've spoken about this. The Warragamba Dam hit 100%. And I feel this is a season and not of revival. As revival comes and joy and freedom comes and transformation takes place, this is a time for breakthrough and overflow. We've broken through. We've hit 100%. And there's nothing else to happen except for the dam to overflow. Yesterday, I went for a run. I ran a run called the Coastal Track, which is from Otford to Bundina, 30 Ks. I've been running that track now for, I don't know, 7, 8, maybe longer years. And yesterday was the first day I ran it in under 4 hours. For me, that's a breakthrough run. I haven't been able to run. That's been a barrier for so long. Yesterday, I did it under that time. I say that because that's in the natural. It's something significant for me because I feel what's happening in my world is happening in the supernatural world as well. Revival happens from the inside out. It's not an external event. And if I can, I just want to finish by just reading something to you that I wrote that day on my birthday. I feel a little vulnerable reading to you, just my journal stuff, but I want to be authentic with you. I want to be real with you. I want to share what I feel God is doing in my life with you in the hope that you will have hope to see that God wants to do the same in your life and in your situations and where you see dry bones or where you see the love of the Lord wanting to come in and do that. This morning, this is what I wrote. This morning I felt God say to me, this is not this morning, this is the 22nd of July last month, this will be a season of purpose or defining season or a season of definement. My power is about to explode in and through your life. Words that have been sitting over your life are going to start coming to fruition, like popcorn popping and being hot and ready to eat. The time has come. This is your time, Rob. Grace upon grace. My grace is sufficient for you, and there's a double portion of grace for you in this season. I can't begin to tell you how much I love you. You'll receive and experience my love like never before. It'll be like a deep, deep well of goodness, comfort, affirmation, security, belief, and worth. You are mine and I am yours and you are my beloved. This will be a season of awakening. A holy reset has begun. A refreshing and renewal is in process. I am restoring and reforming and resorting and realigning. Fresh Holy Spirit anointing and fire will fall on you and you will increase in joy overflowing, new boldness will emerge, and prophecy will be on your lips. I am yours and you are mine. I love you. 55 will be a year like no other. And I was led to 2 Corinthians 12 and the second part of verse 9 and 10. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, I hope you catch the essence of what I'm trying to share this morning. Not about me, but just about revival. I hope as you take this picture of revival, you understand we can't have revival without laying a building, a foundation, without presence, without trust, without intimacy, without holy reset, without preparation, without rest. All those things we've spoken about in the last 3 weeks go together. Otherwise, it's just an event that comes and goes, and seed which falls on shallow ground that doesn't take root and grow or grows quickly and dies out. For this season, this is a season where the church, I believe, is called to sow deeply, and to usher revival in the lives and intimate places. And out of the presence and rest which he's bringing us into, God is breathing on dry bones. This is a place where we will dance with joy and freedom, and the rest of the world will look at the church and say, wow, I want that. How do I get that? I feel God is calling us to portray the true essence of the kingdom. So right now, just as we finish, I just want to pray for you right now. I just want to invite you to hold before the Lord any area that you think is dry right now. Any area that you feel, if you were to feel the Lord was to take you on a trip and like a drone and show you dry areas of your life, where would those bones look like? I want to encourage you to imagine the Lord breathing life into those dry bones. Or first of all, asking you, do you believe those dry bones can live? Do you believe that dry area in your life can be resurrected and breathed on afresh? Do you believe that impossible situation can be made possible? And do you believe that God can form something out of the formless, can bring hope into the hopelessness, can bring light into the darkness, can bring revelation into the confusion? Just take that area and just offer it before the Lord right now. Who's going to speak life over it? We're going to declare life over it right now in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you that you are the God that breathes life and brings life and gives life, not just in survival mode, but in abundance. So right now we recognize that we are already in revival, and we declare even more revival to be amongst us. We speak over those areas of dryness, anywhere where there's dry bones in our life, and we speak life over them right now in the name of you, Lord Jesus Christ. We speak life, breath, freedom, joy, awakening, refreshment, renewal, rejuvenation. We say to our spirits, awake, awake, live, joy, dance, be free. We speak over marriages that need to be restored, and we say, be restored in Jesus' name. We speak over relationships that need to be healed, and we speak healing in the name of Jesus. We speak out of disconnection, and we speak connection in the name of Jesus. We speak over anxiety and depression and stress and anything, and we say, break off right now in Jesus' name. And we release peace and rest and trust and faith and hope in the hopeless situations. We speak that over our situations right now. We speak over any dry bones, and we say, dry bones, live in Jesus' name. And Father, we see the fullness of your life coming into our lives with abundance, with muscles, with movement, with freshness, with healing, with youth, with joy, with freedom, with life and life everlasting and life in abundance. We speak that and we see that and we receive that now in Jesus' name. Father, as you revive us, revive each of our lives, our circumstances, may we be, Father, walking revival into the lives of other people. May everywhere we go be a place where we release transformation, where we bring fresh life, where we breathe on dead places and on dead mindsets and on dead beliefs, and we allow the life of Jesus Christ to come, that the world would say, wow, how do I get that? I want that. Father, we just thank you that you are the one that doesn't let us die, but you give us life and life to the full and life everlasting. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.